Hello, everyone. This is Tom Fox, and I would like to welcome you to episode 63 of the FCPA Compliance and Ethics Report. This episode will begin a two-part episode, or series of episodes, that I wanted to go over with you on third parties, how you should bring third parties into a contractual relationship with your company, and how you should manage that relationship on the back end after the contract is signed. I recently did a five-part blog post entitled Lifecycle Management of Third Parties, which you can cross-reference and get a little more detail on what I'm going to go over in these next two podcasts. But I thought it would be a useful exercise to go through on a systematic basis and discuss what I believe are the five steps in the management of your third-party relationships. So today we're going to talk about the business justification and the business sponsor, and then questionnaires to the third party. In our next episode, we'll focus on due diligence, contract, compliance terms and conditions, and evaluations of that information. And then we'll end up with management and oversight of third parties after the contracting process has been executed. So in the five-step process, I believe that it all begins with a business justification. It really makes common sense that you would only hire someone to either represent your company in the sales chain or work with them on the supply chain if you had a business justification for doing so. Interestingly, many companies say after they go through this business justification process for FCPA compliance, that they are able to reduce the number of third parties they have, and it makes it a little more efficient business-wise. Additionally, the IRS considers a business justification to be an important part of any best practices anti-corruption compliance regime. So it's interesting that the IRS would also weigh in on the business justification. You should begin this process by selecting a business sponsor. You need to have someone from the appropriate business unit lead this effort and be the contact person for the third party you're going to have the relationship with. And this business sponsor should be the person who fills out the business justification form. The business justification allows really a multitude of things, or you can use it for a multitude of things. Obviously, it does provide what is entitled a business justification. But it also drives home the importance of compliance down into the DNA of your company. It allows there or reinforces to the business sponsor the importance of compliance, the various questions that a business sponsor needs to answer and provide to the compliance function for to justify the hiring of a representative. So, what are the specific questions that you should ask or a business should be on a business justification form? Well, obviously, you need an overview. How long have you known the proposed representative? Who's going to be the primary point of contact? How did the third party come to your attention? Who introduced you to the third party? And then why does the company desire to hire this particular third party? It's key to know how this third party came to the attention of your company. One of the clear red flags is if the customer, particularly a state-owned enterprise or a foreign government, would specify who you would need to utilize in a business, in a third-party relationship. So that if someone from the Nigerian oil company says you need to hire this particular agent, I think that's a pretty big red flag. So, and that works across all lines, whether it's a state-owned enterprise, whether it's a foreign government itself. So you need to know how did this agent come to your attention and who introduced him to your company. Then you need to have a description of the services that this particular agent is going to provide for your company. Obviously, an important part of any agent services will be the delivery of those services. So how would these services be delivered? How is it going to record the information about the services that they may be delivered? If it's a product supplier in the supply chain, hopefully you'll receive a tangible product. But if it's an agent in the sales chain, the services may be a bit more amorphous. You also need to have your business sponsor describe the physical place of business that this representative engages in business from. The key here is if it's a box or a warehouse or someplace that really doesn't make sense for an agent to do business or doesn't show they're a stable business with a location, that's a red flag. Have there been any complaints about the representative from customers or any other persons that you are aware of? Does the representative sell exclusively or primarily to government customers? That's information that you need to know, which would be a value to you going forward. The contact information also allows you to inquire in a couple of steps down the due diligence that you're going to need to do. So you need to have all pertinent contact information. And then some more relevant business considerations. What's going to be the anticipated annual revenue generated by this agent? That's certainly important to know from the business perspective, but also if you think about it from the compliance perspective, one of the things that I try to drive home that is that if something is high reward, it probably means it's high risk. So if you have an agent that's going to come in and deliver or propose to deliver a very high sales revenue for you in the first or second year, you need to understand why. If it's a one-off contract that you're hiring this agent for, that's a multi-million dollar, $100 million, multi-billion dollar contract, and this agent is going to come in for any percentage of this, obviously this should raise a red flag as to what this agent is going to provide, the specific services, what relationships do they have with the foreign government or state-owned entity involved. The commission rate. What commission rate will your proposed agent receive? One of the things that I think people are starting to take a closer look at is this commission rate. Obviously, if you have a lower level or a lower dollar amount contract, $100,000, $500,000, $1 million, pick the number, you can have a higher percentage rate than if you have a multiple $100 million contract or $1 billion contract. So the first thing I would urge you to consider is on the commission rate, is it a proposed sliding scale? With the scale sliding downward for the increase. Second of all, does the agent expect something extraordinary or outside a normal range of a reasonable commission rate? So is it 5%? Is it 10%? Is it 15%? How do you justify that? In the energy industry, I think it's a fairly standard amount to look at 5% as a cap or starting point cap. That would go downward depending on the size of the contract. In another industry or in your industry, there may be a tradition of 10 or 15%. Whatever your commission rate is, it has to be justified. So it's something that you need to have some sort of market considerations or market research on. And then how are you going to reimburse the representative for expenses that may be incurred in your behalf or on your company's behalf? Some other questions you may want to inquire into is how many employees does this entity have? How many employees are going to work on your matter, and will they work on your matter full time? Is the third party going to employ any sub-agents or third parties? So these are some of the things that I think are important for you to look at. As with all things FCPA, it needs to be documented. This business justification needs to be written up and signed and submitted to your compliance department. You should not move forward until you receive this. It is absolutely critical that a business unit employee complete the business justification form. So, that's really step one. This moves us into step two, which is the questionnaire. This is something that I think many companies are comfortable with. As questionnaire is certainly a minimum best practice. And by questionnaire, I mean a question set of questions that you can send to the proposed third party that they will answer. This is mentioned several times in the FCPA guidance. It is generally recognized as one of the tools that a company should complete in its investigation to better understand who they're doing business with. I believe that this requirement is not only a key step, but really a mandatory step for any third party that you want to do business with. And I often tell clients that if a third party does not want to fill out a questionnaire or will not fill it out completely, you should not walk, but really run away from the third party and the opportunity to do business with them. Almost any reputable third party I've ever come across is certainly aware of these questionnaires. If they do business with a U.S. or U.K. company, they are probably aware of these. And indeed, in the 2012 Kroll Compliance Week benchmark FCPA report survey, it found that 71% of all companies require all U.S. companies answering require third parties to complete disclosure listing the affiliations with foreign governmental officials and other information. So the questionnaire, I think, is well known, and it's something that many companies use. And once again, if you're dealing certainly with a third party who has any sort of savvy dealing with Western or UK, US businesses, they're going to have seen a questionnaire. So what are some of the things that you need to inquire about in the questionnaire? And what you need to think through or understand in the use of the questionnaire is it's to provide you information which you can evaluate. Whether that evaluation is done by a third-party service provider in the form of a due diligence report, or it's you doing investigations yourself, or if you're really going to try to drill down into how much the proposed business representative might know about compliance and do compliance, that's how you need to think through this questionnaire. So what are some of the specific things that you want to ask? Well, you need to know, and the key element, I think, is beneficial ownership. Who's the ultimate owner of this company? So that means, what is the ownership structure? You need to have a description of the whether or not the third party is a government or state-owned enterprise, what's the nature of its relationship with any local, regional, or governmental bodies. Are any of your business partners related to any government officials? Financial qualifications. You should have the proposed third party describe its financial stability and any capital which has been provided to it. You should try to obtain some financial records. Obviously, audited is preferable. And you should also obtain the name and contact information of their banking relationship. The banking relationship is important because not only do you want to see if they have a stable banking relationship, but you want to know who physically they're banking with. Are any of these banks on any prohibited list from the U.S. government? So a banking relationship query is key. You should determine who the people are who will work on your account. So in addition to the ownership structure, who are going to be the key employees that deal with your account? Are any of those persons government officials, or are they related to any government officials? You should have the third party describe the physical facilities that will be used for your work. This is a follow-up to the point I made about the physical address. An important part is compliance references. Now, this is a little bit different than a business reference. A general business reference is how do they do business? Are they reputable within the business community? But you need to also ask about doing business ethically. And I suggest putting that specific question in. You want some business reference who can talk about your ethical conduct. I think it's important for you to follow up on that, and I'll explain that in our next podcast, but you need to get these references. You need to ask directly if any of these owners or the people who are going to handle your account are politically exposed persons or PEPs. And then you need to inquire into the third party's compliance program. Do they have an anti-bribery, anti-corruption compliance program in place? Do they have a code of conduct? If they do, ask that all materials and relevant documents and training materials be provided to you. Next, has the proposed third party had any FCPA training? Are they TRACE certified? Are they certified by some other recognizable entity? I wrote about the TRACE certification last week, and that's a process by which TRACE, the non-NGO headed by Alexandra Raggi, will actually go out and certify third parties. And they put them through a TRACE program, and they train them, and the certification is good for 1 year. As part of that certification process, TRACE will issue a report. And if a third party you're taking a look at is TRACE certified, that's certainly a benefit. While you may want to ask your own set of questions and go into detailed analysis of their ownership structure, that is, the TRACE certification is certainly something of value, and I think it's something that you can rely on. There are some companies that go beyond the questionnaire that I've talked about, and it's generally described as affiliated parties. And here, the inquiry is of the officers and directors and perhaps key employees, you want to know what companies are they affiliated with? And this is important in countries where there's a small group of a very educated cadre that have really a web of relationships across many different companies, but also the line or the membrane between government work and private work is much thinner than it is here in the United States. So if you think about Angola and Senegal, you have people who move back and forth in government relationships. They may be in the private sector for a couple of years, and they may work for the national oil company. But you need to try to ascertain these affiliated relationships, and that also drills down or includes the family members as well. Because one thing you certainly don't want to do is have an aunt or an uncle or a grandparent, certainly a wife, a brother or sister of a foreign governmental official, or an official of a state-owned enterprise that's an instrumentality under the FCPA hanging out there in a relationship with one of your key employees or officers and directors of your third parties. That's going to be problematic. That's a risk that can be managed. Would like to emphasize that. But it's a higher risk, so your management level will have to be higher. So those are really the first two steps of what I call the five-step process. Once again, it's the business justification completed by the business sponsor. I must emphasize it should not be completed by the compliance function. You should have your business sponsor complete that information. After the business justification is turned in, then it's time for the questionnaire. And what I would suggest is that you have provide a questionnaire to your business sponsor and have that business sponsor communicate that questionnaire directly to the proposed third party. Because once again, this emphasizes not only your company's commitment to compliance, but it drives compliance into the DNA so that the business sponsor understands the purpose of the questionnaire, is comfortable with the questionnaire, and that the proposed third party receives that questionnaire from the business sponsor, not a lawyer, not the compliance function, and they see it as just one step in doing business with your company. So those are the first two steps. I hope you found this useful. As I've indicated, I had a series on these issues in my blog, the FCPA Compliance and Ethics blog, which is available at tfox.wordpress.com. If you have any questions, you can contact me at tfox@tfoxlaw.com. This is Tom Fox, and I hope you've enjoyed this episode of the FCPA Compliance and Ethics Report. Thank you.